Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joining us this morning, post-council meeting.
Good morning, John C. King.
I'm sure he'll
shout out to my number one listener.
Yeah, and he loves the media, too. Had a council session, virtual session last night. Now, you had a little lapel pin on. What was that all about?
Yeah, I had a blue pinwheel. It's for Child Abuse Prevention Month. The Council for the Prevention of Child Abuse and Neglect here in Jackson that usually posts the pinwheels down in Austin Blair Park. Just kind of went through a process of commemorating the month, and because we're virtual, wasn't able to make a presentation to council, but they passed out a little blue pinwheel lapel pins to the council members, and I probably wore one on my lapel last night just to help raise awareness for Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Council approving, I guess fireworks is back, we could say it that way.
Yep, fireworks back. We're going to be back, you know, hopefully, with a number of different events downtown, from Gus Macker to the car shows and things like that. You know, we're going to have to continue to monitor our COVID surge here that's happening not only in Jackson but across the state, and continue to take precautions and follow state guidelines as to those events. So hopefully people can continue to practice social distancing and take every measure that we have been over the past year plus to, you know, abate the spread of the coronavirus, so that we can have some of these great events, have them return to Jackson and get out from under our shells and kind of reemerge to some degree of normalcy, but that's yet to be seen. I know I've kind of been out and about and gotten my shot, gotten vaccinated, I've been wearing a mask diligently, but I've also, you know, seen others that don't. And I think continue to don't take this pandemic seriously. And, you know, that not only puts all of us at risk, but also just prolongs this mask wearing and social distancing measures, among other measures, to continue to slow the virus. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the summer event.
Yeah, everybody wants the summer events to come back. But that being said, the Center for Disease Control yesterday advised Michigan to shut down.
Yeah, I mean, I read that. I think that the governor's office is obviously taking whatever precautions necessary. I get that she's stuck between a rock and a hard place of, you know, doing everything that she can to protect the public health, but, you know, she's not getting a lot of support across the aisle. I think that's causing a lot of great pressure. I mean, it is a difficult task of trying to get individuals to recognize the greater communal good in undertaking some of these social distancing practices to help protect the public health, not just their personal health, and that can be challenging for sure.
Yeah. Council also agreed last night to during the pandemic anyway, to waive some of the fees.
Yeah, so that's what we did. There's a number of different fees on businesses that we chose to waive or to give the city manager the authority to waive, similar to what we did kind of at the onset, a little after the onset of the pandemic last year. And that goes everywhere from marriage fees to downtown permitting fees for outdoor seating and things like that. So thankfully now with outdoor seating, at least that'll lessen a little bit of the constraint on on some of the restaurants. They'll be able to expand outdoor seating, and I know the winter months were particularly hard for them, so hopefully that'll help turn some things around, and hopefully the waiving of some of those fees will help lessen some of the financial burdens during these challenging times.
Okay, you have introduced a new ordinance that would incentivize, I love that word, the creation of neighborhood associations, and I guess allow these associations to, like, elect their own leadership group. I was there some backlash to that last night?
I think there was some misunderstanding and confusion. Some of the council members maybe hadn't had an opportunity to read the ordinance, and looking back on it, I really would maybe refer to it as a neighborhood empowerment ordinance. This speaks to a lot of the work that we're doing downtown and the progress that we're making downtown and pulling that out and into the neighborhoods and figuring out channels in which we can incentivize the development of our neighborhoods and grow our neighborhoods to be just as progressive and organized as we have downtown. I think that when I look to successful cities, I see very vibrant neighborhoods that organize together, work towards common problems, come up with different community solutions, neighborhood solutions. And we have typically, I guess, organized ourselves into like these very arbitrary political boundaries, and we've gotten used to kind of associating, at least at City Hall, used to associating with wards, and people just don't really see wards as a natural place for them to organize, talk with their neighbors. You know, I bet a good portion of the city couldn't even tell you where the ward boundaries are, and there's probably, you know, given a map, you know, myself included, would probably have a hard time drawing specifically where the boundaries lie. I could probably draw them generally, but, you know, I think that this allows for neighborhood associations to form, and it takes a lot of power out of, for those that do form, that go through, you know, a democratic process of electing some leadership and kind of having that base of some level of support within the neighborhood, that there's, I kind of called it last night, a power transfer out of City Hall and into those specific neighborhoods, that we're going to consciously work with them and give them information on developments that affect their area. You know, the some of these processes that we've put for the sake of expediting development within the city, site plan reviews for new businesses locating town, some of those things that are fairly internal to City Hall that we don't necessarily discuss at a public meeting at City Council and are just kind of the natural course of doing business would be shared with those leaders of those neighborhood associations so they could get it out in the neighborhood and just understand what's happening. I've always felt that some of the people that are opposed to what's happening in the city or upset or angry about it aren't necessarily opposed to the project. They're just kind of frustrated that they don't have the information of what's going on on a project that's, like, you know, right next to them. So I think that this ordinance helps to correct that. It doesn't force any organization to have to charter with the city, and it certainly doesn't give any of those neighborhood associations any ability to create any new rules or impose any new regulations on, you know, their neighborhoods. It's specifically just about allowing a process to formalize their boundaries and then making sure that we get information into their hands and establishing a fund so that those entities can apply for different funds from the city to take on neighborhood projects.
Mm-hmm. I think most of the, certainly the big cities have something like that. Mm-hmm. Or a reasonable facsimile, but I'm thinking their number one issue is crime and safety.
Yeah, I think that's often what we see kind of people organically organizing around. Mm-hmm. We have the B2 watchers in the city that is, again, organized kind of around a somewhat political boundary of a neighborhood crime packed area that's used by the city police department to kind of segment out the city for patrol. And then we have the Queens Area Neighborhood Watch. You know, there's some others out there, but a lot of them organize around crime. I think when you look to some of the other cities, they take on projects beyond that, and you know, from park improvements to helping to figure out, you know, what some of the site plans might look like, or give input on those for new businesses coming into the city. Some of them even, you know, have websites where they actively market and promote properties for sale to help recruit, you know, new families into the city and specifically into their neighborhoods, because they understand that with those sales comes new property revenue for the city, for their area in particular. And having a family in a house helps stabilize a neighborhood and helps care for that property, which increases, you know, the surrounding property's value. So I think that there's a lot of good that can come from organizing in our neighborhoods and organizing our neighborhoods in particular. And I think that this ordinance is one way that it could be done. Isn't the way that it shall be done, but provides a avenue for some level of, you know, chartering a neighborhood association so that there's some level of connection between, official connection between that neighborhood and the city. And I see this as great for when people move into a neighborhood, for the city to be able to say, you know, here's the boundary of kind of the neighborhood association that you fall in, and here's the point of contact, and, you know, show up at the next meeting and meet your neighbors.
So council will again readdress that next meeting. I know you had high praise earlier this week for the Our Town Meal project that has came to an end last Friday.
Yeah, I mean, just an incredible program. We had an incredible turnout for it. And, you know, I think that, you know, we raised over $400,000 to be able to buy food for those in need, buy meals for those in need, and to use that process to help support local restaurants. So I think it was a tremendous program, and I think that, you know, operating it at the MLK Center was great. There was, I think, a day before Easter when we moved the pickup on Friday to that Thursday, which was also the same day as that we're hosting the MLK Center as a vaccination site. So that had a lot of activity that day, but, you know, I think it was a great program, and kudos to the city staff, to Tones down there at the King Center, who really helped make that project incredibly successful.
Absolutely. Hey, I got my city newsletter yesterday. Full color, by the way.
yeah.
Reminding me to cut my grass.
that was just sent to you, Greg.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, is that it? Yeah. That's probably true.
No, we're just reminding everybody at the beginning of the year that spring has sprung. Hopefully, although I did listen to the weather report just before I got on here. Sounds like it's going to be cold, but hopefully the grass will continue to grow, the leaves will come out, and we just want to remind people that we do have some ordinances around, you know, proper maintenance of your yard. So make sure to cut your grass. Can't get over 8 inches, or likely your neighbors are going to be calling the city and getting it on a mowing schedule. So
Derek Dobies joins us just about every Wednesday. Thanks, Derek.
Hey, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Take care.